You can come in now. The coast is clear.
Just leave me for a moment here.
Mm-hmm. Tidier than most girls are, it would appear.
The gentle light of evening falls into this sanctuary. Within these walls, love's pangs clutch at your heart. But you must still your cravings with hope's meager dew. This peaceful homestead seems to breathe a sense of order and content. Such poverty is wealth indeed. And there is bliss in such imprisonment. What a shiver of delight. As she lay here, the glowing surge of life pulsed in her gentle breast. And here a pure creative urge, God's image on the child impressed. And you? What brought you to her door? What do you want? Why is your heart so sore? What feelings hold you in their sway? Ah, oh, Faust! Poor fool, I fear you've lost your way. Is there some magic spell around me? I lusted for her, and I find a dream of love comes to confound me. Are we the playthings of a breath of wind? And what if she should come while you were here? You'd answer for your recklessness, and all your bold bravado would just disappear. Abject and sighing at her feet, you'd fall.
Quickly! She just came through the gate.
I'll never come back here again. Let's go.
Here is a box of jewels. Just feel its weight. I got it from, well, from a place I know. Put it in this cupboard here. I swear she'll fall into a faint, your little dove. The finery I put in there was meant to win another woman's love. But then, they're all just kids at heart.
I don't know if I should.
Oh, please, don't start. Do you want to keep it for yourself? Then, lecherous sir, I beg of you, think what you really want to do, and please don't waste my time again. I hope you're not a miser, too. I rack my brains and toil away. Now, come with me, so you can have your wicked way with that sweet child, and all I see is the sort of miserable expression you wear before you give a lesson, as if physics and metaphysics, too, were standing there in front of you. Come on!
I feel so close and stuffy here. Yet outside it's not so warm. I don't know why. I feel so queer. I wish my mother were at home. Oh, you silly girl. You're shivering. You really are a timid thing. Whoever put that casket there? I locked the cupboard up, I swear. That's very strange. What can it be? Perhaps it was left as surety and Mother lent some money for it. And here's a ribbon with a key. Oh, well, really, I can't just ignore it. But what is this? Oh, glory be! I've never seen such jewels before. All this expensive finery was made for some great lady, that's for sure. Oh, I wonder how they'd look on me. But who can it belong to, though? I'd love to have these earrings. Oh, what a different girl you are.
What's the matter, Pet?
Oh, Martha, I'm in such a sweat. There's a box of jewels for me. A lovely box. It's made of ebony. Such precious things in it, I swear. This necklace and this ring.
Oh, Gretchen, you're a lucky thing.
I can't wear them in public. That's forbidden. Or to church. I'll have to keep them hidden.
Just you come over to my place, whenever you like, and put your jewels on. See yourself in the mirror and do up your face. We'll have our little bit of fun. Then maybe, at a wedding or a party, you gradually start to dress a bit more smartly. A gold chain first, and then pearl drops in your ear. We'll tell your mother that they weren't too dear.
Who could have brought the jewel box, though? There's something not quite right, I know. Oh, God!
Come in. It's a man I've never seen before.
May I come in?
Oh, please excuse me, miss. It's very rude of me to walk straight in like this. It's Mrs. Martha Schwedline that I called to see.
How can I help you, sir? For I am she.
Oh, yes, I could have guessed. But you're entertaining a distinguished guest. Forgive me. I'll retire right away and come again around noon, shall we say?
Now, child, there's a compliment for you. This gentleman thinks you're a lady, too.
You're quite mistaken, sir, I fear. I'm just a girl who lives round here, and all this finery is not my own.
Ah, but it's not the jewels alone. It's in your bearing, in your gracious smile. How fortunate that I can stay a while.
What is your business, may I ask?
I only wish I had a happier task. I hope the messenger won't get the blame. Your husband's dead, but greet you all the same.
He's dead? The poor man's gone, you say? My husband's dead? Oh, what a dreadful day.
Oh, Martha, dear, please don't despair.
Would you like to hear the tragic story?
I'll never fall in love, I do declare. I'd die of grief if my love died before me.
Oh, but joy and grief are never far apart.
Please tell me of my husband's sad demise.
Of course, dear lady. Now, where shall I start? In Padua at St. Anthony's he lies, and in that cool and pleasant spot he rests forever in a consecrated plot.
And have you nothing else for me?
Oh, yes. A serious and solemn plea to say 300 masses for his soul. But otherwise, I fear, dear lady, that is all.
What? Not a single keepsake? Not a ring? What every poor apprentice carries in his kit, a token of affection? Some small thing he'd rather starve or beg than part with it?
Madam, I have to say, with great regret, it wasn't trifling sums that got him into debt. He saw the error of his ways, it's true, but then he blamed it all on bad luck too.
I find it sad that fate is so unkind. I'll pray for him, say lots of masses for the dead.
You are a lovely child, it must be said. Have thoughts of marriage never crossed your mind?
Oh, no, sir. I can't think of such a thing.
If not a husband, what of a lover's charms? It is the highest gift that heaven can bring to hold such a sweet creature in one's arms.
That's not the custom in these parts, for shame.
Custom or not, it happens all the same.
The wretch, with children and a wife to feed, he left us here in poverty and need. Oh, what a shameless life he led.
Well, yes, you see, that's why he's dead. If I were you, if you'll take my advice, I'd mourn him for a year or so and then look around for someone really nice.
I'll never find another like him, though, I'm sure of that. However hard I try, he was a scamp. But still, I liked him fine. He never could stay put, I don't know why, and chase in other women too, and all that wine, and gambling, everything he earned.
Well, many couples get on well like that. If he'd been easygoing, if he'd turned a blind eye to whatever you were at, why, I myself, on that condition, might be prepared to make a proposition.
You will have your little joke with me.
It's time to go. This tough old bird would take the very devil at his word. And you, miss. All alone and fancy-free.
So what do you mean?
Oh, sweet innocence of youth. Goodbye, then, ladies.
Good night.
No, wait, I need some proof. I need a death certificate to show how, when and where my loved one passed away. I want to put it in the paper, too, you know. One must do these things properly, I always say.
Madam, of course. Two witnesses will do to prove in law what they say is true. I have a good friend living near. He'll tell the magistrate just what you want to hear. I'll bring him here tonight.
Oh, do.
And this young lady, will she be here too? He's a fine lad, well-travelled, very charming. The ladies find his manners quite disarming.
Oh, I would only blush if we should meet.
You needn't blush before a king, my sweet.
Until this evening, in the garden, then. We shall expect you, shall we say, at 10?
I feel, sir, that you only speak to me so kindly and so condescendingly because a travelled man like you believes it is the proper thing to do. My conversation's dull. It is so shaming. I can't think why you find it entertaining.
One look, one word from you diverts me more than all the wisdom that the world could store.
Oh, no, how could you kiss my hand? You embarrass me. My hands are rough and unattractive, too. It's all the housework that I have to do. My mother's so particular. And you, sir, always travelling, I dare say.
Indeed, we visit many different places. But then business and duty summon us away, and it is sad to leave such friendly faces.
Oh, yes. For younger men, it can be fun to roam the world alone and see its ways. But soon one's years of travelling are done, and as a lonely bachelor to end one's days, why, that's a dismal thought for anyone.
A distant prospect that I dread to contemplate.
Then make your plans before it is too late. But out of sight, I'll soon be out of mind. You're very gracious and polite to me, but you have many friends of your own kind, far cleverer than I could ever be.
Oh, dearest, cleverness isn't all, you know. It's often vain and superficial.
Oh?
While innocence and sweet simplicity are rarely valued as they ought to be. Humility and modesty, they are the highest gifts that loving nature gave us.
If you can think of me just now and then, I shall have time enough when you're away.
And are you often on your own?
Oh, yes, our household's very small. But even so, it doesn't run itself alone. We have no maid. I have to knit and sew and cook and clean. All day I'm on my feet. My mother wants it all so very neat and tidy, too. She doesn't really need to scrimp and save at all. We have far more than many others do. My father left us well provided for. A little house, a plot outside the city wall. But still, it's very quiet here, must be said. My brother is a soldier in the war. My little sister's dead. She gave me so much trouble while she lived. And yet, I'll do it all again for her, the little pet. I loved her so.
An angel, if she was like you.
Oh. It's hard for women who are all alone. You bachelors seem quite happy on your own.
But it might only take someone like you to make me see a different point of view.
You don't understand.
Oh, you mustn't mind. I understand that you are very good and kind.
My angel, so you knew me at first sight the moment that I came in here tonight?
You must have noticed how I hardly dared to look.
And you don't mind the liberty I took? You weren't disturbed by what I had to say when you came out of church the other day?
I was put out. I thought it rather rash. I thought there's something forward, something brash about me that this gentleman's detected. To talk to me like that. It was so unexpected to be approached so boldly in the street, like any common girl. It seemed so indiscreet. I was confused, I must admit, but still, I couldn't bring myself to wish you ill. And I was angry with myself because I knew that I could not feel angry towards you.
My sweet love.
Wait a moment.
What is this, a daisy?
You laugh at me, it's just a game.
But what?
He loves me.
What are you whispering?
He loves me not. He loves me.
You sweet and lovely vision of heaven's bliss.
Loves me not. Loves me not. He loves me.
Yes, my dear child. Let the flowers spell the judgment of the gods, for it is this. He loves you. Loves you more than he can tell.
Oh, I'm shivering.
Oh, no, don't tremble. Let this look, let one touch of my hands convey what words cannot express. Just trust your feelings. Don't resist this ecstasy that has to be forever, ever. To end it would be to despair. No, it must never, never end. Margareta! Gretchen!
It's getting dark.
Ah, yes, and we must go.
I'd ask you to stay longer, both of you, but it's a spiteful neighbourhood, you know. You think these folk had nothing else to do but watch their neighbours like a hawk, and how they talk. You can't turn round before the whole street knows. And our young couple?
Fluttered off up there like wanton butterflies.
He seems quite fond of her.
And she of him. And that's the way it goes.
Oh, he's coming.
Where are you? Oh. Oh, don't be such a tease.
Oh, dearest man, I do love you so much.
Who's there?
A friend.
Oh. A beast.
It's time to go, you two.
Yes, sir, it's late.
May I not come with you?
What would my mother say? Goodbye.
I'll have to leave you then. Goodbye, my love.
Good night. Until we meet again. Oh, dear God. I'm sure I never heard a man so clever, so well-bred. And I can only nod my head and scarcely say a single word. It makes me blush. I just can't see what he finds in a simple girl like me.
You gave me, sublime earth spirit, gave me all I asked of you, and it was not in vain you turned your face upon me in the fire. You gave me glorious nature as my kingdom, the power to feel it and delight in it. No cold encounter, no mere spectacle you granted me. For nature's very heart is like the bosom of a friend revealed. Creation's ordered scale of life you've shown me. I learned to know my brother creatures here in quiet woods, in streams and in the air. But now I see that we can never know perfection here on earth. For with this bliss that brings me ever closer to the gods, you gave me that cold and insolent companion from whom I can no longer free myself, who makes me feel my shame and my disgrace and turns your gifts to dross with every breath. He fans the flames that burn within my heart and fires my longing for that lovely form. I satisfy desire with pleasure, then in pleasure languish for desire again.
This outdoor life is really not for you. Haven't you grown tired of it yet? It's all right for a while, but then you get the urge to go and sample something new. Whatever makes you come here, like an owl to brood, among these crags and caverns all this time? You're like a toad that sucks its food from soggy moss and rocks that drip with slime. I can't imagine that you're having fun. You're still a professor when all's said and done.
Can you not understand what new vitality this barren solitude inspires in me?
Oh, yes. Well, it must be heavenly to sit the whole night through out on the mountainside among the dew, embracing earth and heaven with ecstatic bliss, imagining a god must feel like this, whose spirit penetrates the marrow of the earth, rehearsing in yourself creation's very birth. You feel no limits to your grand ambition. Love's heady rapture holds you in its sway. All earthly crudities just melt away till finally your lofty intuition ends in... Well, I hardly like to say.
You are disgusting. Shame on you.
And shame on your hypocrisy. You prudes are all the same. Chaste ears must never hear us speak about what no chaste heart can ever do without. In any case, I've really no objection if now and then you need a little introspection. But you won't stand it long, my friend. And you will realize you must escape from it, or you will end in madness, horror, and disgust. Enough of that. Your sweetheart sits at home. She feels shut in, bereft, and all alone. She thinks about you all the day and loves you more than she can say. Your passion overwhelmed her at the start, just like a mountain torrent fed by melting snow. It poured into her unresisting heart, but now your stream is running very slow. It would become, monsieur, much better, though, instead of lording it out in the wild, to go and comfort that poor child and give her something to reward her love. Beside the window in her room she stands, watching the clouds as they go by above, and time hangs very heavy on her hands. I wish I were a bird with little wings. All day and half the night she sings.
My peace is gone, my heart is sore. It's gone forever and for me.
Sometimes she's happy, other times she's glad. And sometimes she can only sit and weep. Then she'll calm down and go to sleep. But it's always, always love that makes her sad.
You monster, get out of my sight. Don't mention her, and let that lovely woman be. Don't tempt me with the thought of the delight that her sweet body might have given me.
What do you want? She thinks you've done a flit, and that's at least half true, you must admit.
I'm always close to her, no matter where I go, and she will be with me forever. I envy the very body of the Lord whenever she puts it to her lips in prayer.
Ah, yes. And the two young twins, like Rose, that feed among the lilies. Those I envy you indeed.
Get out, you pimp.
Come, spare me your derision. For God himself approved that laudable vocation. When he created girls and lads, he made provision to give them opportunity for procreation. Get on, let's have less of this gloom. You're going to see your girl tonight, and not to meet your doom.
Though at her breast I might feel heaven's bliss, and in her arms the warming passion of her kiss, I would still feel the pity of her plight. I am accursed, a homeless refugee, an aimless outcast, driven relentlessly like a cascading torrent over rock and precipice, raging and seething into the abyss. And in a peaceful meadow by that stream, she lived her simple life, her daily round, and all the childish thoughts that she could dream in that small world were safely hedged around. And I, whom God has cursed, was not content to thunder in a foaming rage and burst the tumbling rocks asunder. I had to undermine that girl's tranquility. That was the sacrifice that hell required of me. What must be done, let it be quickly done. Now, devil, help me end this agony. My fearful destiny and hers are one, and she is doomed to share my fate with me.
Oh, what a boiling stew we're in again. Go in and comfort her, my friend. A fool like you just needs to lose the plot, and then he thinks the world is coming to an end. You're quite a devil now, but mind you keep your nerve. For there is nothing more deplorable, I find, than a devil who's been driven to despair.
Oh, tell me something, Heinrich.
Gladly, if I can.
What is your faith? I feel I ought to know. You're such a good and kindly man. You seem to have no true religion, though.
Sweet child, you misinterpret me. Who can name, who can proclaim belief in him? Who can reveal he does not feel belief in him? All-embracing and all-preserving, does not he hold and keep us all? Is not the vault of heaven above us, the earth's foundation here below? Do not eternal stars smile down upon us as they climb the skies? And when I look into your eyes, do you not feel how all things flood your heart and mind all through, and weave their everlasting spell unseen yet visible beside you? Just let it fill your heart. And when you feel the highest bliss, why then, you call it what you will. Joy, heart, love, God, I have no name for it. Feeling is all. A name's mere sound, a haze that veils the radiance of heaven from view.
I dare say that's all very true. The priest says more or less the same thing, too. He doesn't put it quite the same way, though.
You'll hear it everywhere you go, as far as heaven's light can reach. All hearts, all languages will teach that message. Why should I not speak in mine?
Yes. Put like that, it all sounds very fine. But still it doesn't seem quite right, you see. It's not what I think of as Christianity.
Dear child.
It's always troubled me to see you in that person's company.
But why?
That man you call your friend is deeply hateful to me, and I can't pretend to like him, for in all my life I never saw a face so grim. His look goes through me like a knife.
My sweet, you mustn't be afraid of
him. His presence chills the very blood in me. I always think the best of folk, but he, although I long to be with you, I swear, it makes me shudder when I see him there. I thought he was a villain all along. May God forgive me if I do him wrong. Oh, I feel so safe when you are holding me. So free, so loving, and so warm. But then I freeze and shiver when I feel his presence. I even think whenever he is here, my very love for you might ebb away. And I could never pray when he is near. That is what really tears my heart in two. But Heinrich, you must feel his menace too.
You have a loathing for him, that is clear.
And I must go now.
My dear, if only we could have 1 hour tonight to lie together, hold each other tight.
If I were on my own, for sure, I'd willingly unlock my door. My mother sleeps so lightly, though. I'd die upon the spot, I know, if she should come and find us there.
My angel, we can easily prepare for that. You only have to take this bottle. Put 3 drops into her drink tonight, and she'll sleep undisturbed until daylight.
Oh, what would I not do, Heinrich, for your sake? You're sure it won't be dangerous for her?
My love, would I suggest it if it were?
Oh, dearest man, my love for you is such I would do anything you asked me to. For your sake, I've already done so much. There's little more for me to give to you.
And what about Barbara? Haven't you heard?
No, not a word. I don't get out as much as you.
Oh, Sybil told me today. It's true. At last, she's got what she deserved, Miss Hoity-Toity.
What?
Oh, it stinks. She's feeding too when she eats and drinks.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. She came a cropper in the end. That man she always went about with, the one she boasted she was walking out with, going to fairs and dances with her friend. She always had to be the first in line. He treated her to cakes and wine. She thought she was so very fine. And all those presents he gave her too. I'd be ashamed to take them. So would you. And all those cuddles in the wood. Well, now her flower's gone for good. Next time she goes to church, she'll have to do a public penance in the sinner's pew.
But he will marry her, for sure.
Oh, he's not so daft as that. And he's a likely lad who'll want the chance to look around for more. Oh, and anyway, he's gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
And if she does catch him, she'll still be had. The boys will snatch her wreath, and at the door, instead of flowers, we'll throw bits of straw.
If some poor girl got into trouble, you would always scoff and gossip like that too. And you were always quick to lay the blame and wag your tongue at someone else's shame. And though their sin was black as black could be, never could be black enough for me. I crossed myself and felt so proud. And now my own sin cries aloud. But what I did, dear God in heaven above, it was so good. And it was all for love.
When I was drinking with the rest, they used to argue who was best of all the girls they ever knew, the way that soldiers always do. And they used to fill their glasses and drink a toast to all the lasses. I'd sit there with a quiet smile and let them brag on for a while. I'd stroke my beard and hide my thoughts. And when they'd finished, I'd fill my jar and tell them, well, it takes all sorts. But of all the lasses near and far, not one could hold a candle to my sister Gretchen. Ain't that true? He's right, they'd shout. Let's drink a toast to little Gretchen. She's the one, she's the girl we all like most. And all the boasters sat there dumb. But now, it drives you to despair. It makes you want to tear your hair. The neighbours talk, the gossips sneer, and every lout thinks he can jeer. And all I can do is look away, dreading every word they say. And even if I knocked them flying, I couldn't tell them they were lying. What's that? He was lurking over there. He must be him. The other one as well. If I get hold of him, I swear I'll send him and his friend straight down to hell.
When I go to see my love, I like to take a gift with me.
I don't see why you should be too upset. You don't have to pay for what you get.
Damn rat catcher! Curse you!
Come on now, Doctor. Don't hold back. Keep close to me. Out with your snickersnack. I'll parry. All you have to do is watch your chance and run him through.
Right. Parry that.
Why, certainly.
And that.
Of course.
Is this the devil fighting me? What's going on? My hand's gone numb.
Now, thrust, Faust.
Oh, God!
That settled him. Now, come. We've got to get away from here before they start to raise a mighty hue and cry. I'm on good terms with the police, but even I can't get away with murder. That's against the law.
Over there, Tim.
That's right.
Bleeding.
Help! Help outside! Quick, fetch a light! They're shouting in the street. There's been a fight.
There's someone lying here.
He's dead.
Where are the killers? They can't run.
Who's this?
It's your mother's son.
Oh, almighty God. What have I brought upon my head?
I'm dying. That's soon said and even sooner done. Oh, you women, stop your wailing. And instead, hear what I have to say before I'm gone. Gretchen, listen. You are young and still unable to distinguish good from ill. You've got yourself into a pretty mess. Before I die, I want to say, just between you and me, that you are nothing but a whore.
Oh.
So go ahead and do it properly.
Brother, take God, what can you mean?
Just leave God out of it. What's been has been, what's done is done. But you'll go on as you've begun. First, you take a secret lover. And soon you think you'd like another. And when you've had a dozen or so, then the whole town will want to go. When you give birth to sin and shame, you never call it by its proper name and you cover it with a veil of night and keep it hidden out of sight. You want to stifle it, but then it can't be hidden and it grows. And in the light of day, it shows itself in all its ugliness again. And the more hideous your disgrace, the more it seeks to show its face. Indeed, I can foresee the day when decent folk will turn away from you. You slut. And they will shun you like the plague. Yes, everyone.
No.
Your blood will freeze within you when they look at you. Your heart will quail. You won't wear any jewels then, nor stand and pray at the altar. At dances you won't show your face, you'll not wear finery or lace, you'll crouch in a corner in misery, with cripples and beggars for company. God may forgive you yet, but I give you my curse before I die. You are dishonored. And your fall was the unkindest cut of all. I go to God and to my grave, an honest soldier, true and brave.
Gretchen, what's on your mind? And in your heart, what misdeed? Are you praying for your mother's soul, which through your doing now spends long, long years in purgatory, whose blood is on your doorstep, and there below your heart, can you not feel it quickening, that fearful presence boding ill for both of you?
No, no. If only I could rid myself of these oppressive thoughts that swarm around me.
Dread fear grips you. The trumpet sounds, the graves gape, and your heart from the ashes where it slept awakes to hellfire and quakes.
I must get out. The organ seems to stifle me. The chanting voices melt my heart within me. I'm suffocating. The pillars press in on me. The vaults above are crushing me. I need air.
You try to hide. Sin and shame cannot be hidden. Air, light, woe on you. The blessed turn their faces from you. The pure shudder to reach out their hands to you. Whoa!
It's Valpurgis night! A broomstick's what you really need, or a randy goat would make an even better steed. I'll never get there at this speed.
I'll trust my own two legs to carry me. And this good stick to help me, that will be quite adequate. And what's the hurry, anyway?
The waning moon is rising overhead and casts a dismal glow of sullen red. It sheds no light, and we could break a leg with every step we take. These jack-o'-lanterns are a much more cheerful sight, huh? I'll go and ask one if he'd like to guide us. Hello, my friend. Can we not share your light? We'd be most grateful if you'd walk beside us and help us to negotiate this slope.
Why, I'd be honoured, sir. I only hope I can restrain my natural frivolity. We go in zigzags, as a rule, you see.
You imitate the human race, it would appear. Now, in the devil's name, don't gad about. Go straight, or else I'll blow your lantern out.
I see you are the master around here. I'll do my best, sir, not to go astray. But don't forget the Brocken is bewitched tonight. And if a jack-o'-lantern shows the way, you mustn't be surprised if things don't go quite right.
Wonderland of magic dreams we have entered now, it seems.
Lead us well, and show your paces so that we can safely go through these vast and barren places.
Now we can no longer say, are we moving? Standing here, everything around us races, trees and rocks with grinning faces, lights that float and sway and veer, blaze and flicker far and near.
Grab my coattails, Doctor! Follow me!
Great swathes of smoke and vapour billow round. A fiery shaft lights up the clouds, and then it flows a slender thread beneath the ground. And now it gushes like a spring again and branches in 100 veins that stream along the valley to that narrow corner, where it merges into one again, and there becomes a single precious seam. Now sparks are flying ever higher, like golden sand flung in the air. And higher still, look, over there, the mountainside is all on fire. The storm is howling now, and I can feel it tugging at my back. It makes me reel.
Just cling on to the rock's old ribs, like this, or else you'll be swept into the abyss. Oh, the fog is dense and dark the night. Listen, how the forests whine. Startled owls are put to flight. Pillars split in evergreen palaces of fir and pine. Grating branches scrape and scream. Mighty trunks are cracking and groaning. Heaving roots are creaking and moaning. With a fearful crash, they all topple others as they fall. They choke the gorges, and the gale whistles through them with its dismal wail. Can you hear the voices everywhere, far and near, high in the air? Yes, the whole mountainside is ringing with the witches' furious singing.
Witches to the Brocken streaming, the stubble's yellow shoots are greening. To the summit swarms a witches' chorus, up there old Nick is waiting for us. Hurry there before they start. Billy goes sick at witch's foot. The way is broad, the way is long. Along it pours a giddy throng. The broomstick scrapes, the pitchfork pokes. The mother bursts and baby chokes.
We creep along like weary snails. The women are faster than the males.
If it's the devil you're looking for, they'll beat you by a mile or more.
We needn't hurry, what's the fuss? Women need more time than us. They think that men are far too slow, but we can do it in one go.
Around the summit we shall ride, and settle on the ground beneath. A swarm of witches, far and wide, will cover all the blessed hills.
They're pushing and shoving and sliding and clattering, jostling and squirming and hissing and chattering. They flicker and fizzle and stink like bitches. Oh, they're in their element, these witches. Now, Doctor, take my hand. I must break free from all this milling crowd. I fear it's too much, even for the likes of me. Look, by those bushes over there, I see a cozy glow that looks much more inviting. Come on, you never know, it could be quite exciting.
You spirit of perversity. All right, lead on. But it's not very clever, I must say, to come here to the Brocken on Valpurgis night when all we do is go our own sweet way.
Look, what a cheerful blaze. We're part of a jolly club in here. Just a small circle, but good company.
Up there is where I'd rather be. The crowd streams upwards to the summit, where the evil one is sitting in a fiery glow. What mysteries would be revealed up there?
New mysteries would be created, though. Just let the world outside go by, and we will take it easy over here. For folk have always had a tendency to form small worlds within the wider sphere. See? Those young naked witches over there. How sweet. The older ones, I'm glad to say, are more discreet. Now, make an effort to be friendly, just for me. I'll give you a nice time, and it's all free. Is that an orchestra that I can hear? I'll have to put up with that awful noise, I fear. Just come with me. We can't avoid the din. Come on. I'll go ahead and introduce you. I might find someone else who will seduce you. Take a look at this great space we're in. It's huge. It stretches nearly out of sight. 100 cheerful fires are burning bright. They're dancing, talking, flirting, drinking, eating. I tell you, this place takes a lot of beating.
What role have you assumed for this surprise? A conjurer or the devil in disguise?
I often travel incognito, that is true. But I wear my decorations at a proper do. I haven't got the Order of the Garter, though my cloven hoof commands respect up here, you know. I can't disguise myself here, even if I try. Come on, let's have a good look around the place. You could be the punter, and I'll play the pimp.
White gentlemen, don't pass me by. You'll miss your charge, so come and buy. Take a good look. Knick-knacks galore. There's everything you need and more. There's nowhere in the world you find such a well-stocked shop as mine. There's nothing here that hasn't done a serious injury to someone. No dagger here that hasn't run with blood. No cup that hasn't sent a deadly flood of poison scorching through some healthy veins. You'll find no trinket that has not seduced a sweet young maid. No sword that has not treacherously betrayed a friend or stabbed a rival from behind.
Oh, Grandma, you're just too set in your ways. That stuff's old hat. Believe me, you should try to offer people something new. It's novelty they look for nowadays.
How I keep my wits about me, I don't know. This really is a most amazing show.
They're making for the summit in a swirling throng. You can't resist. You just get swept along. We're going to get no peace tonight, I know. They're playing a new dance. Come on, let's have a go.
Lovely dream once it came to me. I thought I saw an apple tree. I climbed it, and a gorgeous pair of apples I found hanging there.
You men like apples, I believe. Since Adam had a bite from Eve, I'm overjoyed and very proud. My garden is so well endowed.
I had a wild dream sometime back. I saw a tree with a great big crack. Yes, it had a gaping hole inside. I like a hole that's nice and wide.
You and your cloven hoofs, Sir Knight, are very welcome here tonight. A hole like that needs a big stopper so you can plug it good and proper.
Look, Mephisto, can you see that lovely child so pale and lonely over there? She shuffles awkwardly along. It seems to me she's wearing chains around her feet. I swear she looks like Gretchen. Can it be that she and I will meet again up here?
No. Stay away from her. Keep clear. She's just a magic phantom, an illusion. Those who fall under her spell are terrified. Her lifeless stare will freeze your blood with fear and make your rigid limbs seem petrified. You've heard of the Medusa, I suppose.
Indeed, her gaze is lifeless, cold and dead. No loving hand has closed those eyes that cannot see. Yet that is the sweet body Gretchen gave to me. That is the breast on which I laid my head.
You unsuspecting fool. That is her sorcery. For everyone, she can take on a lover's shape.
This vision holds me fast. I can't escape. How strange. Around that lovely neck, I see no thicker than a blade, a single red and slender line drawn like a scarlet thread.
Of course. That's nothing new to me. She puts her head under her arm as well. You fall for every magic spell. Percy has chopped it off for her. Believe me. Come on, let's take a walk up there. You'll find as much fun here as anywhere.
In misery and despair. Pitifully wandering the country all this time and now imprisoned. That sweet, hapless creature shut up in a dungeon like a criminal, exposed to appalling suffering for so long, so long. And you kept this from me, you treacherous, despicable demon. And meanwhile, you lull me with vulgar distractions. You conceal her growing misery from me and let her perish helplessly.
She's not the first.
Not the first? The suffering of this one creature sears me to the heart, and you grin calmly at the fate of thousands.
Now we've reached our wit's end, the point where you humans lose your head. Why do you seek our company if you can't handle it? You want to fly, but you have no head for heights. Did we force ourselves on you, or was it the other way round?
Take me to her. She must be freed.
I'll take you there. And let me tell what I can do. I don't have power over everything in heaven and earth, you know. I will drug the jailer. You take the keys and release her by human hand. I will keep a lookout, and I will get you away. That I can do.
Away, then. A long-forgotten shudder seizes me. I feel the very depth of human misery. Within these dripping walls she is confined, her only crime a love that was too blind.
My mother, the whore, she's murdered me.
Are you reluctant to go in and free her? Or is it that you are afraid to see her? Come, if you falter, death is close behind. You will wake your jailers. Hush, speak quietly.
Who gave you execution of the rhyme to come so early to my cell and fetch me in the middle of the night? Have pity. Let me live a little spell. The dawn will not be long. Can you not wait? I am so young, but I am not, alas, too young to die. Once I was beautiful. That was my fate. My friend was with me, but he would not stay. My wreath is torn. My flowers blown away. Don't lay such violent hands on me. What have I done to you? Oh, let me be. Spare my life, I beg you. For I've never seen you in my life before.
How can I bear this anguish anymore?
You have the power over me, I know. But let me feed my child before I go. I held it in my arms all night. They took it from me out of spite and said I'd killed it. That was wrong and wicked of them. Now they sing a song about me. But it isn't true. It's just a fairy tale that ends like that, you see. Why do they put the blame on me?
Your love lies at your feet, imploring you to come with him and end this misery.
Oh, let us kneel and offer up a prayer. The saints will guard us. Underneath the stair, below the threshold, the hell seethes beneath the floor. The evil one is near. His angry roar brings dread and fear.
Gretchen! Gretchen!
Oh! That was my lover's voice. He's here. Where is he? Was he calling me? No one can hold me now, for I am free. To my love I'll fly, in his arms I'll lie. Gretchen, he called. I heard him speaking. through all the devilish taunting and shrieking, through all the howling and clatter of hell, I heard that sweet voice I remember so well.
I'm here.
You're here. Say it once more. You're here.
Oh, he's here. Now where's all my pain? Where are my fetters now, my prison and my fear? He's here. I found my love again. I'm free. I see again the little street where I first saw you passing by. The pretty garden and the gate where I and Martha used to wait.
Come with me. Come.
Don't go away. I want to be with you so much. Please stay.
Hurry. If you don't hurry, we shall miss our chance and have a heavy price to pay.
What? Can you not kiss me anymore? We were not parted long, for sure. Have you forgotten how to kiss? I feel so fearful in your arms. Why should that be? Once, when you spoke, or when you looked at me, I felt all heaven's wrapped here. Heaven's bliss. You stifled me with kisses. It was not like this. Kiss me. Do. Oh, I'll kiss you. Oh, no. Your lips are cold and dead. Where has love fled? Oh, tell me, say, who stole my love away?
Dearest, take heart and follow me. I will save up 1,000 kisses for you, but follow me this minute, I implore you.
And is it really you? How can this be?
It is. Come with me now.
You have unlocked the chain, and now you want to take me in your arms again. How is it that you don't recoil from me? Do you know who it is, my friend? You have set free.
Come with me. It will soon be dawn.
I killed my mother in the early hours. I drowned my child when it was scarcely born. That child was ours. Your child and mine. It's you. I can't believe it yet. Give me your hand. This is no dream. It is your own dear hand. But what is this? It's wet. There's blood upon it, too. Ooh! Wash it clean. Take God! What have you done? Put your sword away, I beg of you.
The past is past. It's done and gone. Your grief will be the death of me.
No, you must stay. For you must tend the graves, you see. I'll show you how it is to be. Tomorrow you must start. The best plot shall be for my mother. Beside her then will be my brother. Put me a little way apart, but not too far. My child and no one else shall rest with me, just here at my right breast. To lie with you, my love, was such sweet bliss. There never was such happiness as this. But now it is as if you would be gone from me, as if you shrink away. I have to force myself on you and make you stay. And yet it's you, it is your face, so kind and good.
If that is what you feel, then come with me.
Out there? Oh, no.
You will be free.
Yes. If the grave is out there, then I would be free. If death is waiting, then I'd gladly go to my eternal rest. Not one step further, though. I would come with you, Heinrich, if I could.
You can. You must. The door is open, see?
I cannot come with you. What use is it to flee? There is no hope out there. They lie in wait for me. A beggar's life is such a wretched fate. Far more when you're pursued by guilt and hate. To go from door to door, from town to town, and in the end I know they'll hunt me down.
I'll stay with you.
No, you cannot stay. Save your poor child. It's not too late. Quick, quick, away. Up the stream and through the gate, over the bridge and into the wood, left at the fence, there in the pond. Quick, take hold of it. It's struggling, you see. It's wriggling still. Save it. Save it.
Be calm. Listen to me. One step and you're free. You'll be mine.
If only we were past that hill. My mother's sitting there on a stone. An icy shiver runs up my spine. My mother's sitting there all alone. Her head's too heavy. It's lolling about. She cannot wave or nod. She can't call out. She slept so we could be happy, you and I. She slept so long she never wake again. Those were such happy times we were together then.
If all my pleading fails, then I must try to take you up and carry you away with me.
I'll not put up with force. No! Let me be! How could you be so brutal? Let me go! I always did your bidding, for I loved you, sir.
My love, it is already light.
Day? Yes, it's day! My my last day, my last dawn. It was to be my wedding day.
Tell no one that you were with me tonight.
Alas, my wreath is torn and thrown away.
We'll meet again, I know. We shan't be dancing, though. The people press around. They make no sound. They fill the streets and pack into the market square. They seize me, tie me, drag me to the chair. The sword sweeps. Every neck can feel the sharpness of that biting steel. The world is silent as the tomb.
I wish I had never been born.
What is that rising from the ground below? It's him. It's him. Tell him to go.
Come, or you will surely meet your doom. Morning is here. It is the dawn. Stop all this useless talk and come away. My horses shake and stamp. They will not stay.
What is he doing in this holy place? He wants me.
No, you shall live.
Lord, hear my cry. Thy judgment be upon me. And give me thy grace.
Come, come, or I'll leave you both to die.
Father, I am yours. Do not reject me now. You angels, or you hosts of heaven, I pray, surround me and protect me now. You horrify me, Heinrich, more than I can say.
She is condemned.